Great. Okay, so go for it, Mark, please. Is that marvelous? If there was a court and you were being charged for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If somebody was to look at you, would there be enough for them to say, yes, that person is a Christian, guilty as charged? That's what we're going to look at this morning. In part, we'll come back to this question. That's going to blow my page away, so that's fine. Thank you. Yeah, that's lovely. Thank you very much. So we are going to read, first of all, together from one of my favourite books in the Bible, 1 John. Not because it's named after me, because it obviously really isn't. There's an H in this John, for starters, and there's no dot at the end. But I just love this letter, this first letter. And we love to read it together as a church. So if you are able, please do read along with me. I will try and remember to click as we get to the end of one page and at the start of another. Bless you. Lord, we just pray that he settles down. And whatever's troubling and upsetting him, Lord, you can sort out, because we know you can. Amen. Okay. So, have I got the right page? Yes, I am. I've got to go left to right on my papers. Okay. So, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but for all sins of the world. And by this we will know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Heavenly Father, just thank you for your word. And I just pray for each of us that you give a fresh revelation, that you thank you that you know each of us and you know exactly what we need. And so, Lord, yeah, as we unpack this together, may my words be your words, and may we each receive what it is that you've got for each one of us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, as is quite familiar with us here, We refer to this often, the Bible Project. If you're reading a letter, the Bible Project gives a really good recap of a whole letter. So if you are reading a bit from a letter, you can go there and it'll give you a summary of the whole letter just to put it into context, because there's that old adage, isn't there? A text without context is just a con. So it puts it into that understanding. And from this, we can understand that 1 John, it's either John the Elder, or it could be the disciple Jesus loved. It could be the son of Zebedee. There's two Johns mentioned, and it doesn't really matter to us. But what we do know is that it's a circular to several house churches, around Ephesus. And we think, or we know, really, it was probably written 50 to 60 years after the crucifixion. And the traditional view was always that the believers in this church were being confronted by a heresy called Gnosticism. And in my old NIV study Bible, it says, this unbiblical heresy separates the body from the spirit. And it implies that nothing the body does can tarnish the spirit. In other words, you can act however, your body can be used however, and actually it won't affect your spirit. Basically saying, it didn't really matter what you do as long as your heart is okay. Okay, completely unbiblical. That was the traditional view, and there is a thought that actually this probably didn't creep in until after this letter. So another view is, well, we know what's happened, that the audience has recently seen people leave their church. It says that in 1 John 2:19. And they think that maybe these guys were leaving the church because they were denying that Jesus was the Messiah. So there was massive upheaval in these churches around Ephesus. There was a crisis going on. But whatever the crisis was, whether it was a Gnosticism, whether it was more about the people leaving, John's focus is positive. And as it says in my ESV notes, his aim is redemptive, not reactionary. He urges readers to refine their theological understanding, sharpen their ethical rigor, and heighten their devotional intensity. That is, they must grow in faith, obedience, and love. Yet the letter is not a list of do's and don'ts. It's rather a manifesto of done. I love that. It's a manifesto of done. His aim was to reassure genuine believers. He outlines the truth that true fellowship with God is demonstrated through active faith in Jesus Christ, keeping his commandments, and practicing righteousness. So that's the background. Let's have a look at this together. So the title for today, I've called it Walking in the Light, Stepping in Obedience. And when I was preparing for this, I looked back to see, well, when did I last speak in church? What did I talk about? And can you believe it was, well, maybe you can, maybe it's been a relief, but it was nearly 12 months ago. And quite a lot has happened to my family in that time. And I wasn't expecting that. Thank you for your prayer and support over this last 12 months. It's meant so much to us to know that brothers and sisters have got our back. So thank you for that. But my point was not to well up. Probably not the only time I do that today. My point was not to well up. But because of this, and because some of you may never have heard me preach before, I want to start with a disclaimer, and it's a disclaimer that I usually use when I'm speaking at somewhere that I haven't spoken before. And that's because these words that I'm going to share with you, this thought, is a result of my understanding and my interpretation and the revelation I feel I've been given. But you know what? Each of you has a responsibility to look at what you've been given to consume. You each have a responsibility to make sure what you're eating is healthy and true and good for you. So with that in mind, let's put the disclaimer up. I've got to just trust that it's working, I think. That's what I did earlier. And we see in 1 John later on, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone into the world. You must test what I'm going to say to you and see whether it's come from God. Some of what I'm going to say might hurt, might hit. And if it's not from God, Lord, I pray that we do not take that and we don't receive it. But if it is from you, that we will receive it. And then in Thessalonians, the letter to the first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, says, test everything, hold fast what is good. I'm partly sharing these, as I say, because I haven't spoken for nearly a year, but also because I think today's message is tough. So please understand that I'm bringing it out of love for you all, not from a wagging finger, not from me accusing anybody. Actually, that's what the accuser does. And guess what? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, right? So if you are sitting there as we speak feeling a bit guilty, I don't want you to think, oh, God's making me feel guilty, or John is making me feel guilty. If you're sitting there feeling guilty, remember that's not your status. You are not a guilty person if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you're feeling that way, that might be Holy Spirit saying, hey, this is a problem. We need to sort this out. But you know what? I'm slow and I'm patient and I want to work with you. So let's do this together. So if you are feeling that this morning, ask Holy Spirit to reveal exactly what the issue is and work with him. That t-shirt, please be patient. God hasn't finished with me yet. We've all got a lot of baggage, right? We all got stuff that want God to sort out. Thank God that he is forgiving, patient and kind. Remember, the debt has been paid. You are declared innocent by our Heavenly Father. So, in the New Testament, walking in the light is directly related to following Jesus. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Walking in the light, following Jesus, it doesn't say strictly that you will be in the light, but it does pointedly point out that therefore, those who follow Jesus are going to be walking in the light, because you're not going to be in the darkness if you follow Jesus. It doesn't explicitly say you'll be in the light, but it says you won't be in the darkness, is the point I'm trying to make there, whilst getting tongue-tied. So notice, I am the light of the world, but in John, 1 John, we read, God is light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. God is the light. God is light, sorry. And in him there is no darkness at all. You see, light represents holiness. It represents truth, goodness, life. But we also know the lamp unto our feet. It's revelation and it's guidance. No darkness at all means it's pure. Think of when they refine metal in a fire. All the impurities rise to the surface. They skim them off, and that's how they refine metal. That's how they get a pure metal. If we were able to refine God in a fire like that, nothing would come to the surface because there are no impurities. There is no dark in him at all. And of course, without darkness, we would stumble and we are blind. We wouldn't know what's right and wrong. We might fall down a hole or in a trap without actually realizing where we're going. Think about light without darkness. Here, it's dark, but the minute we turn on the torch, there is light. Light always overcomes darkness. You can't have both. And think about that. Dark actually is an absence of light. That's what darkness is, an absence of light. Okay? God is light. The minute you turn on the light, light a match, create a spark, it's no longer dark. And the thing is, we talk about a torch light, but you can't have a torch dark. You can't have a beam of darkness shining into the light, because light always overcomes the darkness. So what does that mean for us? If we're to walk in the light, John explains this some more, and he does it several times in the bit we've read and throughout the letter. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If you say that you follow Jesus, but you are consciously doing something, sinning, maybe there's unforgiveness, maybe there's something else, you are potentially acting in the darkness. You're not practicing the truth. But, and as we heard recently, buts are really important in the Bible. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And guess what? The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Oh, I don't like where you're going here, Mr. King. You're implying that we have to do something to be cleansed. Bear with me. I'm not saying that at all. Bear with. You see, here lies the problem. We know that God is light. We know that we're supposed to be, and we are, to be children of light. We know that we are to let our light shine, yet we see the reality of darkness in our lives. I'm trying not to catch anybody's attention, or I at this point. But I'm pretty sure, that all of you would be like me in thinking, actually, I'm not very happy with that bit of my life, or there's that bit, or I'd like to sort that, or why do I keep doing that? God wouldn't approve of that. You see, we want to live in the light, but when we want to practice the truth, yet we still end up struggling with darkness in our lives. And this is a great internal struggle. And John repeats this, as I say, several times, but another one he says, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Wow. Why hate? Well, Jesus says if you hate someone, it's as good as murder in his eyes. Okay? You cannot have fellowship with God in the light if you walk in the dark. You have to come out from the shadows. This is that Gnosticism that we were talking about. Things that your body does can have implications on your spirit. I worry that we're seeing this more and more today. Not necessarily the complete Gnosticism, but that idea within churches that one can carry on walking an unholy life in this body so long as the mind and soul is apologetic, there's good intentions, that we go to church. It's okay. God knows my heart. Maybe. But in the letters to the seven churches, Jesus doesn't say, I know your heart, at the beginning. He says, depending on the translation that you use, but the original King James as well, not saying King James is the original, says to each one, I know your works or deeds, not I know your heart. So it's not just heart knowledge that God is looking for, or heart transformation. He's looking for heart transplant. He's looking for transformation in your life. Sorry, I'll come back to that. What about when we do stumble then? Because we will. We do. We have. We all mess up. There's times when we're disobedient. Maybe, you know, that prompting, go and speak to that person. What, me? Yeah, go and just see if they need help. No, I'm far too busy, God. I can't do that. Go on, just go. No, somebody else can. Maybe to sin. Do you know that sin has actually been taken out of the Children's Oxford Dictionary? There's a few other words that have been taken out, apparently, as well. Because it's not seen as an appropriate word to use. But without sin, without knowledge of sin, how is anybody going to choose to follow Jesus? Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's hatred. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Are we lying and no longer walking in the light and in fellowship with him? So does that mean we are walking in the dark? Are we walking in the light? Can we walk in the light and the dark? What's going on? And this, as I say, can be a tough message, so please bear with. Bear with. Ephesians 5:8, I gave you a sneak preview just now. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, which incidentally starts to the saints in Ephesus, what's a saint? A holy one, a set apart person, a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are a saint, and this letter is applicable to you. And it says, for you were once darkness. If you have professed your faith in Jesus Christ, you were once darkness. You were, emphasis. And there's another but. But now you are light in the Lord. Fantastic. That's your identity. That is your new identity. We talked the other day, Joel talked about who we are, and that is our identity. We are light. So what is the implication of this? Well, it says, live as children of light. If we are children of light, let's live as children of light. So what does that look like? Well, remember what Jesus said earlier? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So live as children of light. Ephesians 5 goes on. Live as children of light, for the truth of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and, sorry, for the fruit, the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And look, find out what pleases the Lord. Find out. Read the Bible, pray, fellowship with him. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Step out of it. Come out of that darkness. And you can, because Jesus has given you his Holy Spirit that will enable you to do all those things that God has got planned for you. It promises us that. You can do it. Yeah, but John, you don't know my situation. You don't know what that person did to me. I can't forgive that person. Oh, this happened or that happened. Yes, you can. Holy Spirit has enabled you to do that. Have nothing to do with those deeds. He says it's shameful even to mention those things. So he doesn't even mention them. You know what they are. I can't say them. But everything exposed in the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. If we are walking in the light, then don't be surprised if things get pointed out. If Holy Spirit does prompt you with something, that never used to bother me before. Why does that bother me now? Because God has revealed it to you and saying, actually, now is the time to deal with that. We've dealt with that, that, and that. Now we're going to deal with that. Thank goodness that it's a transforming, ongoing, living relationship, eh? So when Holy Spirit convicts you, take action. And it may be tough. Luke 9:23 says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. Daily. There are going to be times when you're going to have to say no to something that you really want to do because actually God has got better things in store for you, or actually it's not good for you. You should be in the light. You should be imitating Christ. You must no longer live as you used to live. Now, I don't want to come across, which it may be coming across as at the moment, legalistic. So let's go back to John's first letter, because there is a bit more legalism. Look how many times commandments, obedience is brought up. It talks about obedience. It talks about keeping his commands, depending on your translation. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did, or ought to walk, even as he walked. The ought to or the must do in the original Greek apparently was a word meaning be in debt, bound by oath, obliged to. So it gave a sense of duty. So where in all the world does grace and mere mercy appear in this? This can be hard to swallow. This seems to suggest What is he going? Where is he going? And there's more. In other places in the Bible, it talks about obedience. If you love me, keep my commands. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. You are my friends if you do what I say, do what I command. Whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Not because we want eternal life, but because we already have it. Our identity has changed, and therefore there should be a transformation in the way we act. Today, the word believing and hearing are quite passive words, but if we look at the original Greek word for believing and hearing, as in John 3:16's believing, it means put one's faith in with an implication that action will follow. If you really believe in something, if you really believe that those chairs will carry your weight, you'll sit on them. If you don't, you won't. And you can say, I believe it to your heart's desire. But unless you actually sit on the chair, there's no proof of your faith. Okay? So you sit on it because you know you can. And the word hear means hear, pay attention, understand, obey. So there's a close link between hearing, believing, and obeying. But don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that your works and obedience will save you. Where does grace and mercy fit in here? There's this contradiction in the Bible, or apparent contradiction. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not a result of works. Okay? So I've been saved by my faith, but not through works. But then James 2:24 says, you're justified by works, not just by faith. Oh, hang on a minute. And then Romans 3:23, Paul says, you're justified by your faith, not your works. Hey? And then we've already seen in Revelation 2, he says, I know your works. What's going on here? Again, I say to you, we don't walk in the light to earn our salvation. We walk in the light because of it. John Wesley said, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. But St. Paul declares a man is justified by faith and not by works. Romans 3:28. And yet there is no contradiction between the apostles because they're not speaking of the same faith. St. Paul is speaking of living faith. St. James is of dead faith. St. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians and to Romans, is speaking about a precursor or a forerunner to faith. I.e., it's not your works that save you. But St. James in his letter, Jesus in his letters in Revelation, they're talking about the works because of your salvation. So one is a precursor to salvation, one is subsequent to it. And that's why we read in Romans 12:1, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as sacrifices, living sacrifices. This is your spiritual and pleasing act of worship. This is your pleasing act of worship. That's why it says it. In view of his mercies, offer your bodies, not to earn his mercies, offer your bodies. See the difference? And Martin Luther said, a man is justified by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone. Genuine faith will produce good deeds, but only faith in Christ Jesus saves. I want to be clear here again. I am not talking about works to save you. But once you are saved, once you're in the light, you should be walking that way. It says, by their fruits you will know them. If the person you are now, 20 years on, after becoming a Christian, and there's no evidence of Christ working in your life, then there's something going wrong here. Maybe you need to commit again. Maybe you need to examine your life again. If you were being charged for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, and I'm going to read it, what we call in our house group as the kids' version, also known as the message, a paraphrase, but sometimes it's quite useful to get a gist. And he says, knowing the correct password, saying master, master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience. Doing what my Father wills. I can see it now. At the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and saying, Master, we preached the message. We bashed the demons. Our God-sponsored projects had everyone talking. And do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourself important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be one of those people that when I get to see Jesus, that he tells me, go away, you worker of iniquity. I don't want to be that person. So if you declare Jesus as Lord with your mouth, but your actions say otherwise, there's a disconnect. If you're no different to the person you were before you were a Christian, this is going to sound harsh now, but do you really believe? Don't be deceived. Don't be like those people that Jesus is referring to in Revelation 3 that he talked about being lukewarm. You need to know your status. And I'm not sharing this to scare anyone because I love you all dearly. And if you are struggling, I want you all to be saved. When we all get to heaven, I want you together. An Elim Abba reunion. I want to bring you to Jesus, maybe for the first time. I want to bring you back to Jesus, maybe for another time, because you've realized things have happened and you've strayed. Why, oh why, do people walk in the dark? And maybe it's because they don't know Jesus yet. If that's you this morning, and you are coming here, somebody's invited you, or you've just come, but actually you've realized you don't know Jesus. You are in the dark. You'd love to be in the light that we're talking about. You'd love to have that relationship with the Son of the Creator of the universe. Then it's really quite simple, and I will give an opportunity at the end for that. Maybe you're in the dark because there's a bit of sin in your life, and you're aware of it, and it's causing a shadow, and you're hiding behind it, hiding in the dark. You're in the light, but there's a shadow that's stopping you fully experience the light. Maybe you're scared. Maybe you're not realizing it, or maybe you're just asleep and haven't noticed. Maybe you're shutting your eyes. God, it's really dark in here, isn't it? Well, open your eyes. Maybe this message for you this morning is just so that you open your eyes and realize you are in the light despite what you feel. Because guess what? God's truth is far more truer than your feelings. You were once in the darkness, you're now in the light. Maybe we're choosing just to stay in the dark. Maybe we don't want to come out of it. Maybe we think that things are too hard. But remember, if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are a new creation. You are now light. The power that raised Christ to life is now alive in you and gives you the power to overcome. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will clear away. He will flee. He will run. You are no longer bound to the slavery of sin. Yeah, but John, no. There's no buts. You are no longer bound to the slavery of sin. You can walk in the light. This means you can consider Jesus, if you consider that Jesus is the light, when you walk in the light, find out what pleases God and then follow his instructions. That will show gratitude. Yeah, Lord, I'm so thankful. Great, will you go and do that? No. There's no gratitude in that. Lord, I'm so thankful. Oh, in that case, could you go and speak to that person? Yeah, okay. Which one shows a thankful, grateful heart? Live in his power. 2 Peter 1:3. I've already said this a couple of times. His divine power has given you everything we need for godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. You need to believe it, you need to accept it, and you need to live it out. You need to live in his freedom. We've been singing about freedom this morning. Those of you who know me will know that I can talk to you forever about freedom in Christ. And I will. But for not now. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Replace self-condemnation with grace. Confidently approach God in prayer. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you daily, rather than relying on a checklist of rules. Grow in his grace. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how we can walk in the light. Because we're already in it, so let's walk in it. I know that there is no darkness or shadow of turning in God. Yet I see within my life constant struggle between light and darkness. In Romans, Paul refers to this battle. He says, I know what I'm doing, I don't understand. For what I will to do, and that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that is... Anyway, you get the point. He's saying, I want to do it, but I can't do it. Yes, you can. But if you do mess up, remember this is talking to the churches. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So if anybody is sitting here saying, oh, this is not applicable to me, I am sorted. If you are, could you please share some tips? Maybe come and preach. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's not our identity. We're not sinners. We're saints who occasionally sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Thank goodness for Jesus Christ. God knew that we would not be able to achieve this in his life, and that's why the blood of God, Jesus, continues to cleanse us, not just at the point we became Christians, but in our life and our walk with him. So we might mess up, even though our intentions are to walk like Jesus did. But the person you are now should be different from the person you were before, if you are walking in the light and acting when God reveals things to you. So you have a choice this morning. You can hide in the darkness, or you can walk towards the light. The first choice, hiding from the darkness, is natural choice. It's our old sinful nature. It would imply that God isn't just, that God's words are a lie. That's not applicable to me. Everybody else in this church, yes, but not to me. That's not true. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Maybe you don't want to come out because you don't actually want your sins to be exposed or your unforgiveness to be exposed. Guess what? I'll let you into a secret. God already knows. God already knows. Or you can walk towards the light, this loving, patient God, full of grace and mercy, not wanting anyone to perish, but for everyone to become saved, be transformed, and to know Jesus Christ. His light isn't to destroy us. His light serves to cleanse us. It's not like a lightsaber in Star Wars. It's come to cleanse us. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Here is our truth for today. For those of you who have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. As we end now, we're going to come to prayer. We're going to pray together. If there's anybody here who has not yet put their faith in Jesus Christ, but is fed up of walking in the darkness and stumbling and bumbling along, who wants purpose, just while everybody bows down and closes their eyes, if there is somebody here, if that's you, and you say, actually, I want Jesus in my life today, while everybody's eyes are closed, can I just ask you to indicate that that's the case by just raising your arm, if you've never asked Jesus into your life, because we'd love to pray with you and celebrate with you and take you on that journey. If that is you, please just lift your arm this morning. Okay, I can't see any arms raised, but that's fine. If you didn't want to raise your arm, but that's still applicable to you, please speak to myself or Joel or somebody else that brought you to the church, because we'd love to talk to you more and pray with you. What about, though, those of us who are stumbling, who knows that we should be in the light, but sometimes it doesn't feel like it? Or we need our eyes opened to the light. Or God has revealed something to us that actually we need to deal with when we go from here. Can I just pray for you? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are forgiving, that you are kind and gentle, that you are patient. Lord, I just pray for each one of us, as you've revealed things to us, if it's that we need to open our eyes, will you show us the truth? Will you give us a fresh revelation? If it's that you've showed us something that is causing a shadow or causing us to stumble, Lord, will you reveal that to us? Thank you that you're patient and kind and will be able to help us sort it. If that's you, just name that in your prayer now. Agree with God. Yes, it's wrong. I shouldn't be doing that. Lord, help me. And if you are praying that prayer and it's tough, please, again, speak to one of us. We'd love to pray with you at the end. So, Lord, I just thank you for this time. I thank you that your word is alive and living and there to transform us. I thank you that there is no condemnation for those of us who are Jesus. Amen. And to close, just words from 2 Peter. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.